No more vacation. If you're like me, you wake up on a nice Saturday morning in the autumn and you want to smell the crisp fall air, sit halfway up, stretch, and then go back to sleep until about noon. But if you're like me on this particular Saturday morning, you also want to wake up so you can see your mom and brother when they get home. Somehow, at least half of me believed that my mom and Jeffrey would come hopping out of the car, run into the house, and share a good laugh with my dad and me about the little false alarm they'd been through. You know, like, ha ha, those silly doctors, can you believe they mistook a nosebleed for leukemia? It's just so ridiculous! And then I'd pout for a while about how my mom hadn't called me all week and tease Jeffrey about how chubby he was getting from all the cheesesteaks and soft pretzels down in Philly, and then go back to sleep for a nice lazy Saturday nap. When my mom finally pulled into our driveway, though, I saw that Jeffrey was asleep in the back seat, and I started to get nervous. Jeffrey never, ever used to sleep on car rides. I am a big car ride sleeper, maybe the biggest. But Jeffrey was usually just blabbing away for hours on end on any kind of road trip. Once we drove to the Outer Banks for vacation when Jeffrey was 3, and he stayed up until after midnight on the way down. At about 10 p.m., while he was giving me a lecture on the various rescue heroes and why a voice tech rescue hero is completely different from a body force rescue hero, my parents pulled off the highway into a Cracker Barrel restaurant and rented a Charlotte's Web book on tape to shut him up. But even then, he made my mom stop the tape every 15 minutes so he could ask long strings of questions. Have you ever tried to sleep while a pint-sized maniac is rattling off hundreds of detailed inquiries about the web-spinning mechanisms of the common barn spider? Granted, it was strangely amusing to watch the accountant and the English teacher attempt to explain arachnid biology, but overall, I was about ready to strap myself to the roof rack by the time Jeffrey finally nodded off. Just in time for us to arrive at our rental house so he could wake up again and ask a million new questions about the locale, the sleeping arrangements, which pajamas he should wear, and why Steven always gets to sleep on the couch when all he gets is a stupid bed. Anyway, that's why a sleeping Jeffrey didn't strike me as a reassuring sign. My mom left him in the car and walked up to the door to hug us. When she took off her sunglasses, I couldn't believe how old and tired she looked. After my hug, she stepped back for a moment, and I made a pretty major social blunder. So, Mom, everything's okay, right? This whole cancer mistake is all sorted out? She looked at me like I had just asked her for a cigarette. Steven, this is no time to joke. Your brother is a very, very sick boy.
He is?
I just figured it was all a big mistake.
Mistake?
Mistake? Well, you know, when you didn't call and all, I assumed that...
What do you mean, when I didn't call? You know I spoke to your father every single night.
Well, no, actually, Dad never...
You didn't tell him that I called? Didn't you tell him anything? He at least knows about Jeffrey's condition, doesn't he?
Honey, I... Oh, boy. There was something going on here for sure. But I wouldn't find out much about it right then, because Jeffrey woke up right at that instant and knocked on the car window. My mom immediately jogged back out to him. My dad gave me a sheepish look and started off slowly after her. I could tell by the slouchy way he was walking that he didn't exactly relish the thought of arriving at the car and facing his angry wife and sick son. But on the other hand, he certainly couldn't just stay in the doorway because then he'd have to face me. I stayed inside while my dad made a big show of grabbing the bags from the trunk and my mom carried Jeffrey in. Jeffrey looked really beat, too, although his black eyes had faded to yellow and his nose had gone back to normal. I was afraid of what I would say to him, but as usual, I was worried about the wrong thing. I should have been afraid of what he would say to me. He started right in, and although his voice was kind of gravelly, the words came out at lightning speed.
Steven, you should have seen it. The hospital was huge, and I had a real bed, and you could move it. The head sat up, and the feet did too, and the doctors came and put a needle in my back. And then I couldn't move for an hour, but Mommy got me a cool book about knights in shining armor. She sat on the floor and read it to me upside down so I wouldn't be bored. But I was anyway, and they gave me sleepy medicine and put a special tube in my chest called a catheter. And another time they put a needle all the way in my hip bone. It hurt. Then they took out some inside bone stuff called bone marrow, and my bone marrow is sick. So they put another needle in my back yesterday with the throw-up medicine, and I had a needle stuck in my chest for 5 days.
He paused to look at my mom for confirmation.
5 days, right, Mommy?
When he pushed up off her shoulder to look at her, I looked too. I couldn't believe it. She was crying silently. Her voice came out all trembly when she said,
"Yes, baby, 5 days."